4 weeks since the election. And Attorney General Bill Barr just yesterday came forward to say he's not seen fraud on a scale that could overturn the results. But President Trump's lawyers aren't giving up. They're essentially saying that Bill Barr is wrong. Plus, another Republican is calling out the president for encouraging violence. Here's Gabriel Sterling, a top election official in Georgia.
Stop inspiring people to commit potential acts of violence. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to get shot. Someone's going to get killed.
There are reports that the president might pardon himself and his children, and the Justice Department is investigating bribery for pardons inside the White House. So let's convene our political strategist. Matt Mikowiak is the Republican. Hi, Matt.
Hey.
And Jamal Simmons, the Democrat. Hi to you, Jamal.
Hello there.
And Matt, we have to start with you. Barr had been seen as a Trump enabler, backing out of this fraud fight, says he doesn't see it. Republicans being threatened by Republicans in Georgia. What Sterling was referring to there was a noose left for a young election worker with his name on it. Now, President Trump doesn't seem interested in tamping down violence. This is would not seem a good look, but you say what?
Well, I haven't seen anyone who's an elected official call for violence. I've seen the president certainly raise questions about the election. I wish his legal team was doing this in a way that was more evidence-based. And certainly they're fighting the legal battle in Georgia and Pennsylvania. I think they've now filed a lawsuit in Wisconsin. These hearings are not really hearings. They've held in several states. They're not technically legislative hearings. They're certainly not hearings in a courtroom. So, look, they're fighting the legal battle out, and so far they have not had a lot of success. But the Pennsylvania case has been now appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, so we'll see, you know, where that goes. But sure, anyone who is threatening election officials or engaging in violence needs to be investigated, needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, and I think it would be incumbent upon every Republican to make clear that kind of behavior is unacceptable.
Well, Jamal, I want you to weigh in. I mean, you're the president. Trump didn't say leave a noose with someone's name.
No, he didn't. But, you know, the president has engaged in this kind of the soft bigotry of low communications for a long time. I mean, what he's been doing is encouraging people by aligning himself, by not speaking up, by not condemning, being forced into the place where he finally says, I condemn, okay? Which now means everybody knows he doesn't really mean it. He just said it for political purposes. It's time to move past the Trump presidency. The danger is that what Donald Trump will do in his last weeks in office will be so harmful to the republic for which we all love and stand that we will spend the next years trying to dig out of it. And this isn't partisan. It's just whether or not we believe the democracy ought to be the number one priority for all of our public officials.
Well, would you say time to move past? And Jamal, you know, Peter's right here with some questions of his own, but I just have to ask you, you know, Trump told White House partygoers yesterday, we are trying to do another 4 years. Otherwise, I'll see you in 4 years. Now, we know he's reportedly considering announcing a run even on Inauguration Day. He's raised millions with very little of it going to fight this, you know, election fraud, air quotes, most of it going to pay off campaign debt and build a war chest for 4 years from now. I mean, don't Democrats have to consider that while you may consider President Trump a sideshow and time to move past, he's not going to get off center stage?
He's certainly not going to get off willingly. And this is the place where Republicans have to stand up. This is what I mean. This isn't partisan. This is about whether or not we stand up for the democracy and there are traditions. And, you know, I hate to use the word norms, but there are reasons why over years we have developed this process of peaceful handoff of one administration to another, because we all value the preservation of democracy more than we value our individual person that we supported. I worked for Al Gore. I was at the vice president's residence the night he had to say that he conceded to George Bush after the Supreme Court decision. Everybody was in pain. It was a very tough time. But it was the right thing to do for the democracy. The Republicans in the Senate and the House and all these governor's mansions now will have to do the right thing for the democracy and tell Donald Trump to sit down until after this has all worked its way through and Joe Biden is in the White House. Then he can do whatever he wants to do. Sure, run for office. He can run for dog catcher. Who cares? But this period is the time for us to stop and acknowledge the transition of power.
Matt, there's a lot of reasons why this conversation matters. One of the more mundane reasons is because the president's going to be in Georgia on Saturday to campaign for Republicans in the Senate runoff races there. How do you think he should handle that trip in the context of all this? Because people are making the argument, and we heard this elsewhere in the program today, that Trump is alienating supporters by continuing on this way.
Yeah, look, he's obviously frustrated with these four or five battleground states, with the way things shifted over a period of days as more ballots, particularly mail ballots, were counted. And he's been frustrated with Georgia, and obviously that's not helpful. It's not helpful in these two U.S. Senate runoffs, which I wouldn't call mundane. I would call them really quite critical to the future of the country. If the Democrats win both seats, they'll have a majority in the U.S. Senate. You can imagine that would change things considerably for the next 2 years for the Biden-Harris administration. So he needs to go down there and make clear that his supporters have to turn out in this runoff on January 5th. It's absolutely critical. We've seen Stacey Abrams announce that she's collected something like a million absentee ballot requests from voters in her state for the runoffs. That's a considerable advantage, and it's not clear to me Republicans are anywhere near at that level on mail ballots. So the president needs to go down and be absolutely clear. While he is going to pursue legal challenges, and he has at least until December 14th when the Electoral College starts to meet in state capitals to pursue legal challenges, that in the meantime, he wants all his supporters to turn out and vote for the Republican incumbents in these Senate runoffs.
Right, mundane in the sense that it's sort of practical on a matter of sure. governing, not less philosophical. Jamal, I want to get your take on this story from the Washington Post and others about leaders of seven major civil rights organizations who are pushing for a meeting with Joe Biden. They want more minority representation in Biden's cabinet. What do you think about that? Is Biden letting down the black community? It seems like he's made quite a few interesting picks here.
Yeah, I want more representation, too. I would love to have had an African-American press secretary. We've got that didn't happen. But there are a couple of African-Americans who had very senior communications jobs in the White House, including Ashley Etienne, who's now running it for Kamala Harris, and Corinne Jean-Pierre, who's the deputy press secretary. The question I think these folks are asking, and they're totally legitimate questions to ask, there are four big cabinet jobs: the State Department, the Justice Department, the Defense Department, and the Treasury Department. We know where Treasury and State are with people who are not African American. Will there be an African American in the Defense Department or at the Justice Department? That matters a lot. And then that's not enough. The question is, for somebody who won this election because of black turnout, who won his nomination because of black embrace, Joe Biden has said he wants to embrace the community back. No one expects him to have a cabinet that is all African-American, but it certainly should be somewhat African-American, and we'll see what the numbers betray.
I want to ask you both about how we can possibly, you know, have Republicans and Democrats work together to help Americans get through this pandemic. Even when the vaccine comes, it's only going to, you know, it'll come out slowly, and we still have to wear masks. Biden is saying he's hoping for a quick Senate confirmation of his economic team. He says they've got work to do. Let's listen.
We can build a new American economy that works for all Americans, not just some, all. We need to act now, though, and we need to work together.
And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, the Republican, says now is the time for lawmakers to agree on getting more help to people struggling during the pandemic. These are the scripts, you know, that lawmakers use, but let's listen.
Waiting till next year is not an answer. We need a targeted relief bill, including things that we can agree on.
Matt Mikowiak, I mean, McConnell hasn't even, I don't think, maybe he has, you can tell me, acknowledged, you know, that Joe Biden's in the chute to be president. What has to happen here? What is there politics here that needs to be moved aside? Is McConnell trying not to acknowledge Biden, not to get an agreement so that Democrats don't get a win? Or what's going on?
No, I believe the Senate Majority Leader acknowledged Biden either yesterday or the day before when he was back in the Senate back in the session. What changed here, if you remember when the pandemic started, we've had two or three major pieces of legislation that were passed overwhelmingly with overwhelming bipartisan margins. And that's not what happened with the most recent COVID stimulus bill. Nancy Pelosi passed it on a party line. She actually lost some Democratic votes. She didn't have one Republican vote for it. It was a massive bill, did a lot of things that had nothing to do with the pandemic, including giving a tax break to rich people in blue states and things related to marijuana and all kinds of things. So she took a different approach, and McConnell said, look, we have to have 60 votes in the Senate to pass legislation. If you're going to pass a partisan bill through the House, it's not going to get support in the Senate. So he's been waiting to try to negotiate. I do think you're starting to see that logjam break. You do have must-pass legislation to keep the government open by December 11th. So I think you may see this get attached to that. You saw a bipartisan bill come out in the Senate and the House yesterday with a group that came together. So I hope they come together. They need to pass it on a bipartisan basis. There are a lot of people out there hurting.
Jamal, your sense of that characterization of it. And does Nancy Pelosi, I mean, look, we know that the proposed bill by a group of Republicans and Democrats is much lower than Democrats wanted, higher than Republicans wanted. But does, in holding out, does Nancy Pelosi make a mistake here? We have about a minute.
I think Nancy Pelosi is a very savvy negotiator. She'll get the best deal she can in the time she has allotted. But here's the thing. Math is a stubborn thing. 70% of our gross domestic product is consumer spending. We had a 33% drop-off in consumer spending in the second quarter of this year once the quarantine and pandemic kicked in. In the third quarter, we had a bounce back of 40%. So the question is, once the stimulus checks began to work their way through the economy, the question is, do we want another 30% drop, or do we want to keep the level up of spending so our GDP recovers and people are able to feed their families that and business owners can keep their businesses open? The Congress needs to act now and then act again in January.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm sure that the vast majority of Americans out there, they need somebody to break this stalemate. Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist. Matt Mikowiak, Republican. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care.